Boker Tov, world. Today's daf from the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedesh, is daf Kuf Zayin. And we are really almost at the top. Omer of Yudah Marav. Lo'olam al yavi adam atzmo lidei nisayon. So how are we getting on to this next sugya? Well, basically, what we need to remember is that the discussion about Achitofel brings us naturally into a question of his relationship with David HaMelech, because what it was that he did, where it was that he lost his life, Achitofel, was in joining up with the rebellion against David, together with David's son, Avshalom. But remember that this was not without any basis, because Achitofel was the grandfather, actually, of Bathsheba. Remember, we had before the Bathsheba Bataliyam. This is from the one from Achitofel. This was the whole mistake that he had made, that he thought he was going to be a melech, and it was really his grandson, great-grandson, was going to be a melech. Fine, but bottom line is, when he was against David HaMelech, he was against him because of what had happened in his family, you know. This is the guy that basically stole away his granddaughter, you know, from her husband. And so, because of that, he joined up against this terrible adulterer, King David. And because of that, the whole story develops. So we move on to the actual events of David HaMelech's taking Bathsheba. So I'm reviewed on Merav. How did this whole thing start? So, Olam, Ayavi Adam Atzmo, Lidei Nisayon. A person always has to be careful not to get himself into trouble by wanting to be tested. Because that's what happened to David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael, Ayavi Atzmo, Lidei Nisayon, and he failed the test. Omer lefanav. So David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you said to me that Asiti lecha shem gadol k'shem ha-gedolim asher ba'aretz, which the Gemara Darshan, you remember, that this means we say Magen David the same way that we say Magen Avraham. All right, so there's a bracha Magen David. But I don't understand why we don't go further, says David. How come we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Nobody ever says Elokei David. How come? Why are you not able to be miyached your shame on David if I'm good enough to be Magen David? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, well, you know, those three, Inu Min Suri, they all went through bigness, Yainas, and you know, you're having a great life over here as a king. I don't see you going through very much at this point. So you never passed any real Nis Yainas. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam. Well, give me also a nisayon. Shenemar b'choneni Hashem v'naseni. Oh boy, those are dangerous words. So David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I ask for a nisayon. So, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do you a special deal because I like you so much. And I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. I'm not only going to give you a nisayon, I'm even going to give you a hint in advance what the Nisayon is so that you can prepare yourself well, and that way you got a better chance. So, you know, we're going to give you, what do they call those things in a golf thing where you get the handicap? Okay, so we're going to give you all the extras. What do you say? Great, says David. No problem. All right. So, I never told them what they were going to be nisyonot about. But to you, I'm going to tell you. V'ilu ana komodan alecha. Get ready, buddy. It's going to be sexy as all hell. Misnas ve'lecha bidvar erva. So get yourself prepared. Okay. Anyway, so very strange pasuk that we found at the beginning of the story of Bathsheba. V'yihila eta erev. It's getting to be evening time. V'yokom David me'al mishkavo. Now, last I heard, most people in the evening time get ready to go to bed, not get out of bed. So what in the world is this talking about? And so it's close to the nighttime, so David's getting out of bed. Omer of Yehuda, this shows us an amazing thing. David HaMelech figured, you know, what I'll do to avoid any nisayon is I'll basically, I got lots of wives, you know, so I figure every other hour I'll sleep with one of them, and we'll have a long refractory period, which will get me out of any kind of sexy nisayon, and that should keep me happy enough, and then at night, I'm safe. That's what he figures. So he turns his bed of the nighttime into his daytime bed. He just forgot a little tiny problem. Nitama mimeno halacha. The halacha is ever katan yesh ba'adam. You got this small man in you that masbiu ra'ev. The more you keep that equipment happy, the more it wants. So masbiu ra'ev marivo savea. The way to stay out of trouble is to provide less, not to provide more. Anyway, but he forgot about that little problem. So actually all he did was ended up priming himself for this nisayon. So he's going up on the roof, you know, thinking about the sugya, working out the ketzais. Anyway, all of a sudden, he sees a woman that is showering on top of her roof, and boy, is she gorgeous. Now, how the heck do you see a woman showering on top of her roof? That doesn't make any sense. So the thing was like this. So she was actually shampooing, and she was shampooing under this awning. So this was nice awning that was keeping her completely covered, you know, and she had this nice swimming pool on her roof and so on. Anyway, so what happens? Comes along the satan and pretends to be this beautiful bird that is just the right thing to try out hunting. And he wants very much to mount this bird, you know. So he takes his arrow and he shoots it, but he misses, and he tears apart the awning. And lo and behold, there is this gorgeous girl. Oh my gosh, says he. So Vayishlach David Vayidrosh Laisha, Vayomer Halozot Batsheva Bat Eliyam, Eshet Uriah Hachiti. Well, don't you know who that is? That's the famous Batsheva, the wife of Uriah Hachiti. And Vayishlach David Malachim Layikachia. So David sends messengers, takes her to come to the palace. Meanwhile, her husband has been away in the army, having fighting. And as the Gemara says elsewhere, he had already given, like all of the soldiers of David HaMelech, they would always give a get to their wives, so that in case they were captured in war, disappeared, something happened to them, the wives would be able to remarry. So they would give a get, and not openly, but they would give a get, or get out tonight, Semachlokas in the Gemara. And Vehimit Kadeshet Mitumata. David knew for a fact that she was not a Nida, because he had seen her coming out of that mikvah on her roof, and then showering, and so on. So he knew that she was Tahora. So look, obviously, if the Pusik says he knew she wasn't a Nida, it's pretty clear that he wasn't taking her as an Ashes Ish. That's for darn sure, right? Okay, so that backs up the Gemara's contention, right? Anybody reads the Pusik immediately sees that he was very careful not to do anything usher. And fine, so he sleeps with her, and Vatosha Velbeta, she goes back home. And, of course, she'd gotten pregnant. That was the problem. V'hainu dichtiv. So that is why David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Bachanta libi, so sure enough, you gave me that nisayon, you put me through the test, Pakadat Halayla, you gave me a nighttime incident over here, Tzaraftani, you planned to actually make me pure, Baltimsa, and instead, you found out that I'm a piece of garbage. Oy vavoy. And then continues the pasuk, Zamoti bal yavor pi. I wish that my zimama would never have crossed my lips. So what he was saying was, a lashon of zamoti is a zimama. A zimama is a muzzle. I wish that I had had a muzzle on my mouth. The Almanda Sanile, obviously he's referring to himself euphemistically, doesn't want to say muzzle on my mouth, but if only my enemies would have a muzzle, meaning me, and I wouldn't have been so stupid as to request a test. Should have known if you request a test from God, you're in big trouble, and you're going to fail. Dorash Rava, Maidich Tiv, לנצח לדוד, בהשם חסיתי, איך תאמרו לנפשי, נודי הרחם ציפור. So, what does this mean? עומד עוד לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, ריבונו של עולם. בכל יעלו טוב ועבון. Let's just forget about this business with Bathsheba, because you don't want people saying, הר שבכם ציפור נדדתו, your greatest, the mountain, that's El HaHarim, remember, is the equivalent of El Tadiovas, to the greatest. So you don't want people to say that a little birdie came by and that destroyed your big David HaMelech that you take such pride in. Dorash Rava, Maidich Div, another pasuk in Tehillim, that says this is the Tehillah entirely about his chet, Tehillah Nunala, L'chol avad chatasi, harab einecha asiti, l'man titzdak bidovrecha, tizkeh bishoftecha. The first thing, to make it very clear, is the only one that I really sinned against was you, because of the inappropriateness of the behavior. I never sinned in the way that people claim I sinned among Mamzerim. They're all saying I took an Eishes Ish and everything else. Chas v'sholem. But the only reason that happened was l'man titzdak bidovrecha. You should be the one that wins. I mean, you were saying you cannot call me Elohe David because I was never tested. I'm the one who said, what do you need a test for? It's obvious. Fine, test me. But that would have put you in the wrong because then I would have been proving my point against you. You obviously did not, and for good reason, did not want to say Elohe David, right? So if I had won, then I would have made you look bad. So you know very well, says David, if I had wanted to be kof for my Yetzer Hara and not sleep with this woman, I could easily have done that. The only reason I didn't, because I didn't want people to say, what, the Eved ends up winning against his master? I didn't want to make you look bad, so that's why I failed. But, I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? So it actually is. I mean, the way the Mefarshim understand this, I think it's a moral, if I'm not mistaken, or tzaddik, that the truth is that the only reason that David HaMelech did not win out was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever underlying elements that are involved in saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Beshum Ofen did not want David HaMelech to be Elokei David, and it wasn't part of the whole structure of the Shir Koyma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevayocho. And so, ultimately, if it hadn't been for that, David actually would have, of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, such things would never have happened. But in order that it should be clear to people that this was the correct way, that he shouldn't be called Elokei David, that's why he didn't get that Tzayata Dishmaya to be able to avoid this Nisoyan. Dorash Rava, Maidich Div Kanil Tzela Nachon Umachovi Negdi Tamid. So what does it mean when it says Tzela Nachon? Tzela has a double meaning, because Tzela, on the one hand, means my breaking, my failure, and on the other hand, of course, it means my rib. And if it means my rib, then it would be referring to the original Tzela in Gan Eden. There's a reference to woman. So, ani letzela nachon, but my pain is always there with me. What I'm saying is that Bathsheba is my tzela. In other words, Bathsheba was really the true wife of David from the time of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Ruya haita Bathsheba bat Eliam le David, misheshet Yimei Bereshit. Ela sheba'ai lav b'machov, she was always meant to be his. And unfortunately, had to become his in this terribly painful way that people should view it as an avera, and he should have to suffer this type of scandalous lashon hara and so on, which was not befitting. V'chein tana devei Rav Yishmael ruuya ita del David bat sheva bat Eliam. For the regular people, arboim yom kodim yitziras havlad. Over here, we're talking about from the time of Gan Eden, and there's good reason for that. Because remember, when was David HaMelech given life? Only when Adam HaRishon asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees the story of David written on himself in the Sifrei Shel Adam HaRishon, so he says, the Gemara says elsewhere, so how long will this guy live? Looks good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, he doesn't have any life. No life has been given to him. So Adam HaRishon asks, is it possible to give a gift of one's own life to someone else? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes. So he gives 70 years of his own life. He was meant to live that one day, which is Elef Shanim B'yom, B'yinecha K'yom Etmol K'yavar. And when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, it's B'yom HaChochai Menu Mos Tamus on that day. So he was supposed to die within 1,000 years. So he asks if he can give away 70 of those years. Those 70 years came from David. But then that means, as from Adam, the 70 years of David came from Adam. So that means that it was already, that whole history of that life was all there in Gan Eden. As we saw, that's the idea that even the name Adam stands for also a remez to David, Adam, David, Mashiach. And therefore, it makes sense that he was supposed to be her husband from then. V'chein tana d'vei Reb Yishmael, ru'uya haita le'David bat sheva bat Eliam. She was meant to be his wife. The only problem is, ela sha'achala paga. He ate her prematurely. And I've pointed out to you many times, pag is the word that we use for premature, premature child. And the Lashon of the Gemara that says the eitz she'achala mimenu Adam HaRishon was actually the fig. That's why figs, the fig leaf, right? That's the only tree that would give its leaves. So that's why a fig is called a fig, because it comes from the achilat faga, which it is that Adam HaRishon himself was also over. He was meant to be Nenev from the Eitz HaChaim, obviously, ultimately, which was the Eitz HaDas, because there was only one tree, but he ate it faga, which turned it into a fig. And as I've pointed out, that holy language, Yiddish, when you want to say, I don't give a damn about anything, you say, I don't give a fig, or a fag after. May you rotten fig them. Only Yiddish would have that kind of word, right? Anyway, because of this, so Dorash Rova, Maidich Tivu Vitzal'i, but when I fell, some Chuvin has Sofu, they all gather around, they all make fun of me, they're all so happy. I used to mourn for people that were having problems, and look what they do to me. Nesvu alai Nechim, these people themselves are crippled people, their minds are crippled. They're totally crippled individuals, sickos. But I never knew it. Lo yadati. I never used to think about such things. And then they started tearing at me. Kar'u velo damu. The portion of meaning is, they would not be quieted. No matter how much they hurt me, you couldn't get them to shut up. So, but what we're saying over here in the drasha is kar'u velo damu. They could tear at my skin and there would be no bleeding, because I didn't have any blood left in me. They embarrassed me so much that I was walking around white, without blood. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, galui v'yadua lefanecha, she'im hayu korim b'sari lo hayad mishoteh, that they could rip open my skin, there wouldn't have been any blood coming out. V'lo od, forget about just making fun of me when they walk by or whatever. If we're sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, b'sha'a she'im oskim b'arba mitot peitin, and they're learning this mesechet, right over here, and they're learning Perek Arba Mises. So they say to me, they stop, you know, poskin mi mishnatam. And they say, hey, David, we forgot. What's the onesh for somebody who sleeps with a married woman? Could you tell us? So I would answer them, yes, I'll be happy to tell you. Somebody who sleeps with a married woman, he's killed by chenek. But that's not a problem. Yeshua chelek olam haba. But people like you, mal b'pnei chavero b'rabim, they don't have a chelek l'olam haba. So let's keep that straight. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, afilu b'sha'at chelyo shel David, ki yem shmona esrei onot, he had 18 wives, and he owed each one of them a whatever amount of time that he had to give them his conjugal visits, and he was Mekayim. 18 of those chayuvim that he had. And it says, Yagati be'anchati, aschei b'chol laila mitati, b'dimati arsiyamse. So there I am, totally, totally broken with my moaning and my sighs, and I'm so heartbroken at everything that's happening to me. And nonetheless, every night I sit there drenching my bed and making the sheet dirty with my semen, doing whatever I have to do with my wives. And I just do it. V'omer Rav Yonah Merab, Bikesh David la'avod avodah zarah. We also find the crazy story that David HaMelech was wanted at the time of Avshalom, and he was running away. So it says he was climbing up Harazesim, and it says, Vayi David ba al harosh asher yishtachav Hashem Elohim. Now, the pashas, what that means is that when a person comes towards Yerushalayim, and they're on top of Harazesim, they can see from there. So they could see the Hebrew universe. I mean, they could see the Beis HaMikdash, and they could bow down. So that is the Pashtas, the place where people would bow down. So he was going the other direction, of course, because he was leaving Yerushalayim. So when it says he got to the Rosh, that would mean that he was going to the Rosh of Avodah Zarah, because we find by the story in the Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar, it's called Tzalma Reishe Didahavtav. So that head of the Nebuchadnezzar statue, which was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel was able to explain to him, and that was an Avodah Zarah turned into that statue, and that means that David HaMelech was going to be Mishtachev Hashem to this God. That's insane. So how could that be? So continues the pasuk. Ki neidli krato chushia arki. There comes his great advisor, Hushai Aharki. He's got his clothes torn, and he's got dirt on his head because of what's happening to David. And he says to David, how can you do this? Yomru melech shekemotcha yavod avodah zarah. You realize what a chil Hashem this is. People will say, a man like this would be oivet avodah zarah? Amar lo, so David HaMelech says to Hushai, so what's better? That they should think I'm a good guy? And then they'll all say, Melech shekamoti yargenu bino? This is what happens to a king who's a tzaddik and a chassid, and his son should kill him? That's a bigger chilul Hashem. And they will begin to doubt that yesh din v'yesh dayan. So better that I should make it. The chilul Hashem will come only from me, not that everybody should perceive my life as a chilul Hashem in their eyes. This would be a mamish, a public chilul Hashem. Every person wouldn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yashus. Says Hushai to David, nobody's going to think that you didn't deserve what you got. Everybody's going to say, oh, him? The reason his son killed him is because it wasn't really his son. It was his son from Yafas Tor. My time why in the world did you do something so stupid to go sleep with that Yafas Tor? And then, because remember that Ma'acha, who was Avshalom's mother, was actually, as it says in the Navi, she was Bas Talmai Melech Geshur. So she was a Goya. And he had taken her when he was fighting. He had taken her as a Yafas Tor. And that's why, since when you take your Yafas Tor, as we'll see, you're going to end up with a son who is Ben Sorer Umoreh, so of course they'll say, see, everything it says in the Torah is true. So obviously, it's much better for you to get yourself killed, but why are you going to be Avin Avodah Zarah? Anyway, so, but he didn't get to that part yet. He's just telling David, so why did you marry on Yafas Tor? Says David to him, what are you, some kind of crazy hang-up? Yafas Tor is mutter in the Torah, it says. You don't believe in the Torah? I did what the Torah said. Said Hushai, oh yes, absolutely. But you don't know how to be Dorish Smuchin? Remember, you have to look at what pasuk is next to another pasuk. So what parsha is next to the parsha of Yafas Tor? Ki yela ish ben sorero more? What's the connection of ben sorero more to yefastoar? Dad is coming to tell me? Kol ano se yefatoar. Yes, it's mutter. But if you do it, yesho ben sorero more. Ultimately, you will have a son that it's not so amazing that he wants to kill you. Everybody's going to say, that's great. Anyway, Darash Rabbi Dustoy to bin Biri. If you take a look at the way that David HaMelech would actually ask for Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he would be Mispalel, he does it in a very beautiful way, because he's like a Socher Kuti. You know what Socher Kuti does? Socher Kuti pretends he's got very little of this stuff, you know? So you want what? Well, I can sell you maybe, you know, a couple of pounds. So then, I mean, the guy's not going to knock him down, you know. So then he's going to end up for basically much. He's going to end up buying a lot of it, and he's going to be buying more and paying than he would have if originally he showed him that he's got a big stock, right? So that means you get the person little by little into the deal. You end up making more. So David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shigiyot Miyavin, Ministrot Nakeni, Gam Mizeidim Chasoch Avdecha, Al Yimshelu V'Yazeitam V'Niketi Mipesha Rav. So how do we understand that? First he says, Shigiyot Miyavin. You know, people don't even notice that they do certain things. I mean, those are the kind of things you should be Marcha. Okay, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shkiyot like that, that people wouldn't even notice. Shvikilacha. I Marcha you. How about, let's take it a little bit more. Would you be able to handle Nistarot, Nakeni? How about things that nobody knows about, that I did, not on purpose, but people don't know about it? Okay, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll be Marcha you. Well, how about gamizedim chasoch avdecha? How about things that I did on purpose? Could you be merchel that too? All right. I'll be merchel that too. Well, how about if al yimshalubi? How about if they won't end up having kayach over me? People will stop talking about it. Delo lishtor bi rabbonan. At least have talmidei chachamim realize that they have no right to talk about this. Okay, Shvikilach. How about if Hazetan Viniketi mi Pesha Rav? And even if the most horrible things that I did, maybe it shouldn't be written down in the Tanakh, so could we cross out these psukim? Shaloi Katev Sirchuni? Omar Lo, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to David, what do you mean? I can't take something out of the Tanakh. I mean, after all, that I tried taking away the Yud from Sarai and turned her name into Sarah. Oh my gosh, did I get into trouble? I mean, for years, Omeid v'tzoveach kama shanim, that yud was making me such tzoras, and it's just a little yud. What are you going to do with this yud? How am I supposed to sit here? I don't have anywhere to go until, whew, finally, Yeshua came along. So I found a great opportunity. So if we add a yud to Hoshea Binunt, and his name becomes Yeshua, I get rid of the yud. Okay, but what am I going to do with a whole parsha about you? I mean, this is crazy. I'm supposed to write a new Torah called Peyton Place, and I can't do that. So it's going to have to stay where it is. So kol a parsha kula alachat kama vekama. I got nowhere to put you. Oh, crazy stuff. V'niketi mipesha rav. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. I think it would be a great idea to be Michael completely, as if it makes no roshem at all. Omar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, kvaratit Shlomo bincha lomar b'chochmato. You know what your son Shlomo is going to write? He's going to write a book called Mishle. And one of the things he's going to write about is sleeping with married women. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, Hayachate ish eish b'chiko, uvgadav lo tisarafna. You think that you could take these burning coals and put them in your inside pocket. Nobody's going to know about it. And it's not going to burn your clothes. Is that what you think? Maybe you think you can be a swami? You're going to walk on these burning clothes and you're not going to get burned. I mean, maybe Alon Rogoff can do that kind of thing. I don't know. But it ain't going to happen to people that are just regular people. So whatever small shaykhus you have to that chait, I'm not chas v'shalom saying that that's really what you did, but it looks like that to people, and that's bad enough. Omar lay, kol ochi nitra dahu gavra. There's nothing I can do. Omar lo said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, you can be mekabel yisurin on yourself. If you suffer, so yisurin or mechaper. Skibi alav, says, okay, whatever it takes, I'm mekabel on myself. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. That's the reason that shisha chodashim, now I'll prove it to you in a minute, for 6 months, Dovid HaMelech had tzaraat, with his talking and the Shechina wasn't shira on him anymore. Sanhedrin didn't want to get close to him. He had tzaraas. He was had to go out ben Amachane. How do we know it was in tzaraa? Tichtiv techateini ve'ezo ve'atar techapsenu misheleg albin. All right, so we see the remez is, what do you use an ezo for? For the whiteness of tzaraas. So that's what he was being meramis to. How do we know Nistalkim and Ashkina? Because he says, Hashivali, Sason Yeshecha, the Ruach Nediva, Tismecheni, give me back. So that means that it was gone. Come back to me, the happiness that it is to be with your Shekhinah. How do we know Pirshu Mimenu Sanhedrin? Because he continues on to say, Yoshuvoli Yereyecha, may those who are Yoreyu come back to me. Those, of course, is the reference, Yodei Edotecha, the ones who know the Torah, that's Sanhedrin. And how do we know that it was for 6 months? Shisha chodashim inala. Dichtiv, Hayamim asher malach David al Yisrael arba'im shana. Very strange pasuk. It says in Malachim that David HaMelech was king for 40 years, b'chevron malach sheva shanim, u'b'yerushalayim malach shloshim v'shalosh shanim. But the problem is that he was actually Melech for more than that. Because if you take a look in Shmuel, during his lifetime, it says, Bechevron Malacha Yehuda, Sheva Shanim Veshisha Chodashim. So that means 6 months have disappeared from the record over here in Malachim. How could they disappear? Where did they go to? Hane Shisha Chodashim Lo Kochoshif. Where did they go to? Shmami no nitzareya. Do you see? It must be that he had tzaraas. And we know that even la halacha, a melech who is a metzera does not bring a tzara nasi. So it means in some sense you don't have a din of a melech during that time. So when it was over, he goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, well, I've gone through it. Ribono shel olam, mecholi al ato avon, so forgive me. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, okay, now it's mochu lecha. So then he adds in the pasuk in Tehillim, Asei imi ot letova, v'yiru sonai v'yevoshu, ki ata adonai azartani v'nichamtani. Do something publicly to show people that they should be embarrassed for how they speak about me, because you've helped me to be meichel me. Amar lo said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a plan. And this plan is, believe me, well worth waiting for. B'chayecha eini modia. So during your time, your lifetime, I'm not going to let it be known. But I'm going to let it be known in such a dramatic way that it will completely crush your enemies. B'chaye Shlomo bincha. What was the maisa? See, this was the most public, exciting gathering in Klal Yisrael's history after Kabbalah Satorah itself. Everybody's gathered together to watch the Oren HaBris being brought into the newly built Beis HaMikdash, waiting for the Shekhinah to come down, the Esh to be Yorid Ben HaShamayim, and everybody is playing, and the orchestras are going like wild, and the Korbanos are waiting to be brought on the new Mizbeach, and Shlomo HaMelech is sitting there, bowed down in front of the Beis HaMikdash, giving his introductory tefillah and talking about what this Beis HaMikdash is for. And now, ladies and gentlemen, and the gates won't open. He can't get the Oren into the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody's going crazy. What's going on? Dovku Sharim Zebazet, Shlomo HaMelech gives over 24 different Lashonos of tefillah in that introduction of the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash. Rina, Tefillah, Techina, Tzaka, whatever, Kriya, all of the different Lashonos. Now we find 24 different Lashonos. Nothing happens. The gates are closed. And he starts begging, Su'u Sha'arim Rosh Hashem, V'inasu Pitchei Olam, V'yavo Melech HaKavod, Mize Melech HaKavod, Adonai Yisus V'gibor, Adonai Gibor Milchama. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. So then he says the last pasuk that we find in his tefillah, at least in Divrei Hayamim, and he says, Hashem Elokim, al tashev p'nei mishichecha, zachra l'chazdei David avdecha. The moment he says, zachra l'chazdei David, the gates pop open, and everybody sees that's the moker of the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, my God. That, of course, is Bismar Shir Chanukah Sabayis Le David. That's exactly what the Chanukah Sabayis was about. Le Mocholi, you turned it into Mechila. It's a play on words. You turned my Avelis into a dance and into Mechila that everybody knew. And Yod, Nefchu Pnei Shnei David Kishulei Kedera. So all of his many enemies, they turned black, like they had just been burned. Miyadu ko Yisrael shemachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu alato avon. And that way the whole world knew that the Beis HaMikdash was waiting dafka for the tefillah and the mechila of David, because everybody was saying, well, Beis HaMikdash will never work. It was all planned by David, and so on and so forth.
Like a dayra, it's deeply baked in. What you see is the constant use. It's thick. It's not...
You know, I always said, Barnea, that to find something in my house, you have to wait for an archaeological dig, because whatever my wife puts away is only going to be found by an archaeologist. And now you have confirmed it, because every pot in this house is Keshulei Kedera, and you say that they uncovered it. Incredible. What kind of amazing dig did it take to prove that the bottom of pots are black? Wow. Anyway, I'm happy to know after all these years, I've got backup. Okay, sweetheart. He gave me an opening. I couldn't resist.
The shooter's going to bar.
Next case. So, final case in the Mishnah was Gehazi. So it says Gehazi had no chelek of Elam Haba. So what was the whole story of Gehazi that we're talking about over here? Let me first remember the brilliant Eitz of Barnea to actually add water to your cup. Amazing. This was something that a year ago, after so many centuries, Barnea discovered and shared. And since then, I've been able to add water to the cup. I will also give you a Messiah from my father Zatzal, who loved and enjoyed cracked ice. But the problem was, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to crack the ice. So we had an ice grinder, you know, that one of those old ice grinders. We couldn't use it on Shabbos. So he very brilliantly taught me, all you need to do is set up resonance in the ice, and it cracks itself, which I have since then been able to utilize to break up my boost pills when they're too hard the question. You just go like this, and there you go. You got your little pieces as much as you want. So the Masorah of archaeology lives and burns brightly, Barnea. Gehazi. So what was the story of Gehazi? So it says in the Pasuk, for some strange reason, that Elisha, Vayelech Elisha Damesek. Now we know that, of course, Elisha had to go to Damesek because he was sent to actually go there for the Nevi'ahs of, Hazael. But it says that he went there without any relationship. What happened to the sending of him, the leaving? What do you mean he comes to Damascus? Apparently, there was something that he was coming for, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that visit. So, what was he doing in Damascus? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he went to be Marzir Gehazi b'teshuva. Gehazi, remember, was a star Talmud, and he had thrown the Gehazi out with terrible curses that he should get the Tzaraas Naaman. And in the end, the Gemara is going to explain that he was too tough on Gehazi. And because of that, Gehazi went off to Tarbus Ra, and he blamed himself. And he wanted to try to get Gehazi to do teshuva. So he went there, but Gehazi would not do teshuva. So Omar lo, chazor b'cha do teshuva. And Gehazi told him, how can I do teshuva? I was bekabel from you that achote umachati et rabim in maspik and biyad olah so teshuva. That you can't do teshuva if somebody caused other people to be chote. And I was causing people left and right to be chote. What did you do? My adava. So some say what Gehazi did is Gehazi was a brilliant scientist who figured out how he could get the egel of Yeravam using magnetic coils to look like it was flying up in the sky and it would stand there, you know, like those little cute things they have on the desks, you know, that it looks like something is just staying there. You can get them on Amazon even. So, but in those days, it was hard to get Amazon. So he had to figure out himself how to get this egel lifted up and into the sky. So he had to bury coils in it. It was really quite a chop. But anyway, so he made the egels of Yeravam look like they were gods hanging up in the sky. Okay, that was terrible. Hamida ben Shamayim Loretz. Ikidi Amre. Others say, Shem Chakak Befia, that he wrote a shame inside the mouth of that egel. He wrote the Shem Hashem, and the egel would say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yeh lecha Elohim achirim al panav. This was very impressive. And so, that may be the chet of the rabbim, but others say it was more subtle than that. Ikri Amri Rabbanan Docha Mikameh, that he kept away the Talmidim from coming to learn in the Beis HaMedrash of his Rebbe Elisha. What makes you say that? Because immediately after the story of Gehazi's being thrown out and the Tzaraas Naaman is going to be with you and so on, the next pasuk is, seems to be a total non sequitur. Vayomru b'nei ha-nevi'im el Elisha, hinei na ha-makom asher anachlu yoshvim sham lefanecha tzar mimeno. We don't have any room to sit in this place. Medrash, we need a better place. What in the world? What does one have to do with the other? Ah, v'chlal da'ad ha-shtelo ha-vitzar. So until now, there was plenty of room. Why was there plenty of room? Because anybody who would apply to the Beis HaMedrash of Elisha, Gehazi, would reject him. So there shouldn't be Talmidim. Fine. So because of that, he ended up pushing away Talmidim from learning Torah, and that was the chet that he was going to the rabbi. Tana Rabbanan, the way that Elisha handled Gehazi was wrong, and that's why he went to Damascus. Your left hand should be what you push away the person that has to be pushed away, but your right hand at the same time has to be drawing him close. Not like the way Elisha handled Gehazi. It was horrible. What was the maisa dechtiv? Vayomer Naaman, ho el kach kikaraim, vayifrotz po, Vayotzar, Kikaraim, Kesev. Anyway, what happened? So Naaman offered a lot of money that he had brought along, and Begadim, he wanted to give it to Elisha after Elisha cured him, and he had come with tons of stuff to be able, he thought he's coming to, you know, some shaman, you know, I don't know, he figures, this guy, I don't know what he does, but that's why he says to him, you know, what do you mean, go be tevil in the yarding? I thought he was going to do something, wave his hands, he's not doing anything. This is not a serious guy. So then he wanted to give all this stuff to Elisha, and Elisha Bedafka did not want to take any of that stuff because he didn't want to be looked at in that way. Adarabba, this is coming kulay from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I refuse to take anything. So what happens? So Gehazi tells Elisha after Naaman goes away and he can't get him to accept even a solitary cent. So he goes chasing after him and he says, excuse me, sir, but Elisha has decided he wants a little bit of that stuff. Okay. So Gehazi tries to many of the Farshim learn that Naaman didn't believe him because it was totally inconsistent. And he made him swear that he was actually sent from him. Okay. So that's why he says, Ho'el, we'll see. So he comes back and Elisha says, well, Gehazi, where have you been? Me? Lo alach avdecha hanavan. I didn't go anywhere. I was just away in the bathroom. Vayom re'alav Elisha tells him, lo libi alach kashrafach ish me'almar kaftor likratecha. Was not my heart with you at that moment when the man, meaning Naaman, when he turned around on his Merkava and he looks at you? Now you think Gehazi is the time? Lekachat et hakesef, lekachat begadim, zeitim, kiramim, tzon, uvakar, vavadim, ushvachot? This is what you were supposed to be doing now? This is the perfect time, right? Now, there's 8 different things here, and he didn't take any of that. Why in the world did Elisha say is now the time? All he took was kesev u'begadim. How did you add zeitim, kramim, tzon, uvakar, avadim, u'shvachod? Adding those 6 things as if there were 8 different gifts? U'misha kalkulei agechas, he never took all of that. Kesev u'begadim u'deshakal, all he took was the money and the clothing. Ah. Because he was being merames to him something. You see, when Naaman had come to him, they were in the middle of darshaning Perek Shmoneh Shratzim in Shabbos. And at that moment, Naaman Tzartzva Melech Aram, who was a Mitzora, he comes in. How did he come in? How did he get to Elisha of all crazy things from Aram? He knew about Elisha and Elisha's Beis HaMedrash. So what had happened was, Omer Le'ayira Vita Dishtaboy Mi'arad Yisrael, they had taken hostages from the Jews. One of them was this girl, and she was working in his house. And she felt bad for him to see, because he was a very chosh of a guy, this Naaman, and he had Sarat. So she said to him, listen, if you go to Elisha, he's going to cure you. So, Yazalta Lagabi Elisha Masilacha. Okay, so this is the whole story. He went to the king. The king told him, yes, sounds like a good idea. And anyway, so he comes to Elisha. Elisha tells him, go and be tevil in the yarding. So Naaman is really upset. You make a joke out of me? I come here all of this way. You tell me to go dip in this muddy stream that you Jews call a river when we've got real rivers in Damascus. I'm supposed to go over here into this muddy stream. Get out of here. So the people that had come with him, does it hurt? What does it hurt? Go and try it. What are you going to lose? So, okay, zil naseh, just try it out. So he goes back, tovo biyardina, and sure enough, his skin turns into the skin of a baby, and it's beautiful. Itaseh. So he comes back to Elisha, he wants to give him all of the amazing things that he had originally brought. That was a tremendous gift. And Elisha refused it. Lo tzavi lekabulimine, and Naaman went back. Gehazi pretended that he needed to go back, to buy a sandwich. Ipata mikame Elisha. He runs and he takes his horse and he catches up with Naaman. Shokal maite shokal. He takes what he could. And afkid, then he puts it away in a place where Elisha wouldn't know about it. And when he comes back to Elisha, who was in the middle of the drasha on Shmona Shratzim, and Elisha, when he walks, the minute Gehazi walks in, Elisha saw that there was a sign of a little bit of tzaras on Gehazi's forehead. So that meant that he immediately told him, would be medayik that in a moment. So it told him that obviously he had taken something from Naaman. Omar Lay, so he says to him, you Russia, higia eit li tol sachashvan eshratzim. This was the time in Olam Hazeh that you wanted the schus of all of your mitzvahs and all of your Torah. Very good. Take your 8 gifts, you know. And Sarat Naaman tidbak becha uvizaracha la'olam. Vayetze milafanav mitzara kesholek. Mashma. That until now he was also mitzara. But he wasn't mitzarat kesholek. But that he had seen a little bit of tzarat. So therefore when he went out of, and he gave them that curse, he came out completely mitzura. And that's why it says in the whole story that we find out later, where there were the 4 mitzoraim that were there, Petach Hashar, and everybody is starving, and they were the ones who stumble over all of the dead soldiers, and they say, you know, they start taking things, and they say, we better go back and tell people the nace that happened. Who were those Arba mitzoraim? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that was Gehazi, Ushlosha Banav, because they weren't in the city, and because they were, after all, Mitzorain. And his 3 sons apparently had given him the Eitzah to go and to take that stuff from Naaman. So they all got that Tzorat. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. There's 3 things that this very good idea that we gave you, always push away with your left hand, but draw close with your right hand. There's 3 things like that. Yetzer, Tinok, Ve'isha. Never try to fight face to face against your Yetzer Hara. You're not going to win. Never fight with a kid. You're not going to win. You're just going to cause damage. And never fight with a woman. So what you got to do is you push away gently, and you sort of maneuver things, and meanwhile, with your right hand, you bring the car of them, so you can use them. Your Yetzirah is the same thing. You're going to try to fight your Yetzirah. Use your Yetzirah. You can do good things with that Yetzirah, too. So, therefore, te'esmol docha, I should say, the yamin mikarevet.
Can you clarify that point? Does it mean that you need to be tough at one point, but then at another time, bring them close? Or at the same time, it's like Tai Chi, you like, do that the way you yield
it. It's like Tai Chi. At the same time, you know, that you're telling them how terrible they are. It's not them. They're wonderful. You love them. It's just this wasn't the way someone's so wonderful. You know, that type of thing, so to speak. I mean, obviously, each thing has its own world. Toner Rabbanan, if you're Medayik in the Potsik, you will see that Elisha had 3 different periods of illness in his life. Shlosha cholaim chala Elisha. Echad. One time he got sick because of the way he was very tough, and he was gira dubim betinokot. Remember when those kids were making fun of him, and they called him the baldy. So, and he had the bears come out from the forest, which became, you know, the old story of Goldilocks. This was like a whole big thing. Anyway, so that was considered to be very tough. And echad shedechafol gehazi b'shtei yadayim, and one was after that maisa, and he tried to fix that by getting gehazi to do teshuva. And then the final illness, where it says beferish, Elisha chala et chelyo asher yamut bo. So apparently there was a chala, and then there was chelyo, and then there was the asher yamut bo. And so he was sick and he was dying. Now that was an amazing change because it never happened before that people should become deathly ill and they should recover. And that's why we find afterwards that Yoash came and he was crying, Avi Yochi, Avi Rechav Yisrael, Farashav. This is the Melch Yisrael, mind you. Anyway, so what happens? So Ad Avraham, Lo Haya Zikna. If you're medayik in the pasuk, you see that until the time of Avraham, there was no sign in people that they were old. There was no aging process. So you would see the father, the grandfather, the son, they all look the same. No way to know which one looked older. They'll call the Chazil Avram, Omar, if they saw Avram, and they had known before Yitzchak, they figured this is Yitzchak. Someone knew Avram, they saw Yitzchak, so they would basically treat them in exactly the same way. So it was no way to be miyached, the behavior that was due to Avram versus that was due to Yitzchak. So Avram was mevakesh rachamim, the Levi Lezikna. He asked for aging. And so aging, at that moment, first time we find aging, is Avram Zaken Baba Yamim. Ad Yaakov lo havichusha. Until the time of Yaakov Avinu, there was none of this deathly illness before dying. Boy rachme v'havichusha. So Yaakov wanted people to be aware of the fact that their end is near. That way they can prepare themselves, they can do teshuvah. So he was mevakesh rachamim, and it started with him. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Medrash, an excellent idea, let's start with you. So Vayomer Yosef, Hine Avicha Chole, that's the first time that we find such a thing. Ad Elisha, Lo Avinish Cholesh Demitpach. There never was a deathly illness that people would ever recover from. Ota Elisha, Uboi Rachme, Veitpach. But when Elisha was Mispalo, you're not going to be saying this Mishnah, Sir Richard, because it's getting on in time. So you might as well mute yourself. But we love having the picture. You don't have to go away. So he was mevakesh rachamim, shenema v'elisha chalat chalyo asher yamut bo. Mashma that before that, there was also illnesses, and they were roy that he should be yamut bo. But he wasn't yamut bo. Wow. Okay, Rabosai, whew. This was a big one. Yes, sweetheart.
To be left out.
Yes. Yes. There is, you were reading the daf from Sefaria. An excellent point. I think that is an excellent point. I forgot about that. The censor removed the whole piece in this Gemara about Yoshka. So there's a whole piece about Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Let me get it on screen, and then I'll go over it with you, because it's not in the Gemaras, because it was all about what a slob Yoshka was. And, of course, the censors were not exactly well-disposed to that, so they took it out of the print of the Gemara. Yeah.
Well, what Rabbi's doing, the Sochik Pussy, do you remember Servio Valenche jeans? That was the first, like, brand for jeans?
Yeah.
In America? Ellie Colling. And what he used to do, he told me exactly the salt to cook. When they first started selling Macy's, everybody would call for orders. He says, oh, we don't have enough to fill that. Whatever Mackay said. and that generated, he said, that generated the demand.
Right. Right. Beautiful. Okay, here's the piece that's missing. So after the Arba'a Nashim Ayu Metzora'im, what it said before the censor took it out was a really nice piece, which goes like this. Good thing I didn't turn off the recording, right? Yeah. So Yoshua ben Prachya Mahi, because before it also was missing when it said at the beginning, Lo Kelisha, Shidoch Volegech Hazibishtei Adayim, you have to put in the words, V'lok Yoshua ben Prachya, Shidoch Volegesho Hanoitzri, Bishtei Adav. So then after the story of Gehazi and Elisha, we get to the Gemara that says, and what's the story of Yoshua ben Prachya, Mayi? Ke Katlino Yanai Malkal Rabbanan. So after, remember, Yanai HaMelech got into this fight with the Rabbanan, Yoshua ben Prachya had a Talmud whose name was Yeshu, and the two of them ran away to Alexandria to escape Yanai. So they went to Alexandria Shom Mitzrayim. Afterwards, Kadavi Shalma. So afterwards, it turned out that Yanai realized that, you know, with the whole story with Shimon ben Shetach, that the Rabbanan really would not have, Chas v'Shalom, not have done anything against him and so on. So then Shimon ben Shetach, who was his brother-in-law, Yanai's brother-in-law, He didn't have to run away. And he writes the following coded message. Mini Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Lichi, Alexandria, Shel Mitzrayim, Achoti, my sister city, Baali Sharui Betochech, my master is living with you, and Anochi Yoshevet Shomema, and I, Yerushalayim, am living all alone, meaning that the Godol Hador, Yoshua ben Prachya, should come back. So, Rav Yoshua ben Prachya, he comes, and he gets onto a caravan, together with his favorite student, and Yisra'im Yilayahu Ashpiza, they come into this inn, and the innkeeper sees such G'dolei Torah come in, and she gives them a tremendous amount of Yikra Tuva, tremendous kovod, provides them the most beautiful meals, and Rabbi Yeshua says to Yeshu, "Ah, kama yafach sanyezu, what a beautiful woman," meaning, of course, what a beautiful behavior, and what a wonderful human being. But Yeshu, who's only thinking about sex, he says, "Yeah, Rabbi, but don't you think her eyes are a little bit too round to really be perfectly beautiful? Inea trutot." So he is shocked that he says to Yeshu, "Rasha, b'kachata osek, that's what you're thinking about? Afik arba mea shipura vishante." So he takes out, so to speak, 400 shofarot to put Yeshu into nidui, and now Yeshu is not allowed to come into the Beis HaMidrash. Anyway, so time after time, Yeshu comes back in to beg him, it'll be better, I'll do teshuva, be mekabel me, let me get back into the yeshiva. And he paid no attention to him. Lo avi mishkach pe. Anyway, one day, and this was the day that Yoshua ben Prachya had made up his mind that he is going to take Yeshu back. So one day he's in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema, Avikakori Kriyat Shema. And at that moment, Otu Lekameh, so this Yeshu comes to him, and Rabbi Yoshua, he had in mind already, Sava Lekibule. Unfortunately, he was Israeli, whereas Yeshu had come from Syria. Now, you know what Israelis do when they say, "Can you wait a minute?" They go like this, which he took to be a middle finger. And he figured, he's throwing me out of here again.
Yes, in Italy is the exactly so opposite. It's today, this sign is really...
Right. So Yeshu figured, he's saying to him, "Get out of here, I don't want to see your face." And that did it. I mean, this time, and obviously it was coming to a head, which is why Yoshua ben Prachya wanted to accept him that day, right? Anyway, Min HaShemayim, things didn't exactly work out, which ended up making Rome and getting Yeshu a nice place in Rome, which brought us Devorah, who can actually tell us how it is that Yeshu had viewed that sign in Italian. So who's Savar? Mitzchadokile. He thought, he's telling me, get out of here. But in reality, it was the opposite. So he figures, okay, we'll make ourselves an Avodah Zarah. He hadn't thought about the cross thing yet, but just getting a brick, that's sort of on the way. So he puts up a brick, bows down to the brick, and he accepts it as an Avodah Zarah. So anyway, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Prachya said to him, "Hador b'cha, so do teshuva. I'll take you back into the yeshiva." Omale, kach b'kublani mimcha, kol achoti marti at harabim, ein maspiki b'yodo lasas teshuva. And what did he do? Amar Yeshu, he ended up being b'chashev, being mesi to midiach as Yisrael, and causing us untold pain. And therefore, he couldn't do teshuva.